This is 2040 Entertainment and Celebrity Interviews with the one and only Marty Kahn. Yes, it's America's favorite theatrical agent and talk show host, Marty Kahn, along with all of his special guests. His daughter, Sherry Kahn, me, Jim Merling, Mr. Ed himself. Tonight, interviews with the author of Boxes, The Secret Life of Howard Hughes. And we'll present again our interview with Chuck Lavelle of the Rolling Stones. Here he is now, your host, Marty Kahn.
This is good old Marty Kahn, the king of celebrity talk radio, talking to you coast to coast. Now, I got somebody that I idolize. He's one of the greatest producers in the whole goddamn world. You heard of Mike Dulles? Done by him. You heard of Barbra Streisand? Done by him. If I would say all the things he did and has done, I'd be out for 10 hours right now, and I can't do it. I haven't got that time. But Woody, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Marty. How are you?
I'm working like a dog. I always work like a dog, and then where am I going? Nowhere.
You always have worked like a dog.
Well, that's why the people say I look like one, too. You know who I got on the show? I got Woody Fraser, one of the greatest producers in the whole darn business. Woody, how you been?
I've been good. Working hard. Been good. We're cleaning up Glenn Beck here, getting him out of Fox. And Good Morning America's doing good, and Nightline's doing good. And I got the Huckabee Show, and I'm working my buns off, as usual. Same way I did when I was running around trying to get you to get Barbra Streisand on Mike Douglas for me.
Well, I did it, and that was really great. I want to tell you, I put Barbra Streisand in, Woody. This is a great thing, because she's a hip gal. I put her at Billy Weinberger's Hickory Girl and Corman's Back Room, healed them both. His brother Jules come up to me and said, Marty, this girl is not like we want. We want the society-type girl, and this is what we want. And I went up to her. She was getting $250 a week, and I wanted her. I said, Jesus Christ, Barbara, you look so great. You went to the leather suit. You're too high class for this place. They want to pay you and pay off. They paid me nothing. I gave her $250. Then I met my God, and that was you. I took her to Chateau Club.
That's right.
And Lakewood. And I said, Woody, you took a look at her at first and says, well, maybe I'm right, but she looks good. This is different for Mike Dulles because she's a lot of low-keyed. And Mike Dulles is watching her. And Woody Fraser, who knows talent, said, let's put her on. So I told the guy over there, she was getting $250. I said, she's getting $5,000 a week at Corbin's Back Room. He said, how did she do that? Well, we did it. And Woody Fraser put it on the show. I think it was $1,000 a week. You worked 5 days a week, remember?
That's right, 5 90-minute shows in Cleveland, Ohio. I remember you laughed at me. you mean to bring her to Cleveland, Ohio?
Right.
Put her up, and I said, we're going to put her up in the Auditorium Hotel. And you said, no deal. No hotel is named Auditorium.
That's what it was, and I told you, that was a great thing. I had, you know, Jay Leno on the show. I had Dave Letterman. I had all these good guys on the show. But without you producing them, they didn't know what the hell to do at that time on the show. Mike Dulles was a guy that you found and produced him. You made him the biggest guy in the country. How did you do that?
Got lucky. You know, when I started NBC in Chicago, and he was the boy singer there, and I was just a kid, you know. And I watched them. We started Color there, and so they did all these shows just to try out color, different color sets. And Mike was like the boy singer. He was a leftover from the Jimmy Petrillo days, and I thought he had personality. And then I got this idea to do a show that nobody had really done, and it. And I had everybody. I wanted a guy who could do everything. He could sing, dance. He could sit and talk to the President of the United States. And next thing, get hit in the face with five pies by Soupy Sales. And I was Westinghouse. I sold the idea to Westinghouse, and I was going nuts. The first two auditions, you know how this is, Marty. First audition was terrible. The second audition was worse, and now everybody's not looking at me as I walk down the hall.
And you paid her
in the office, and this guy comes bounding out from behind a curtain on the TV show, and I went, holy God, that's Mike Dulles. And it wasn't. It was Merv Griffin doing a show called Tic-Tac-Doe.
Oh, God.
What Mike Douglas is doing.
You know, I played the drums with Freddie Martin when Merv Griffin was playing the piano.
Wow. Wow.
I go way back. I go so far back, they got me out of this world already. But I'll tell you something.
I called him, and I got him to do it, and we came, and we got along, and we started the show, and he could do everything that he could do. The man was amazing. He could do everything.
You remember that they thought Johnny Johnson would be the right guy, but he never would show up.
No, that's true.
See, I know what I'm talking about. That was a long time ago, and I brought Barbra Streisand. What did you think when you took a look at her?
Well, I wanted her badly. You gave me a hard time. You made me come back to New York three times to sell you.
That's right. That were the great days.
And you said, Cleveland, Ohio? You're going to do a show out of Cleveland, Ohio? It's going to be the biggest show in the country? You're out of your mind. And I just wouldn't give up. And you actually said to me, you know what? It may be the worst show in the world, but you know what? You got guts, kid. I'll book her.
That's what I said. And I'll tell you something. You are the greatest know-it-all producer how to make a star.
Well, you're
like a god. You can read off it or some of the things that he's done. It's terrific. How am I doing so far, Mr. Fraser?
You're doing good. You're doing good. I've done a lot of shows. You know, Dick Cavett. I started Dick. Ryan Seacrest started Ryan. Regis. Richard Simmons. I don't know. Good Morning America. I had that whole family of Geraldo, and I found Joan London, David Hartman, Rona Barrett, then Nightline, Koppel. I don't know. Done a lot of shows, you know.
When you do Marty Kahn, you're right on the top again.
Yeah, that's incredible. And then, you know, so.
You are a great, great man. And the thing when I'm doing, my wife died of cancer. And I've been going around the country, and I made a memorial for her. Remember, she was on my radio show all the time. She used to say, "What about me, Marty?" It was announced. And then when I did the Johnny Carson, she said, "What about me, Marty?" She could be in the audience. And everyone would say that. Even the Cleveland Plain Dunner would have an article like Jigs in the Puzzle. They say, "What about me, Marty?" It was really, really great. And I tell you, what happened to this guy? Forgive me for giving up to Roger Ailes.
Well, Roger, you know, when I started Mike Douglas, he was in the station. He went to Ohio U. He's from Warren, Ohio, just south of Cleveland, and he was wandering around, and I had this gal that worked for me, Lana Newman, who you remember.
And I sure remember.
So she saw him in the station and said, "What are you doing? I might get a job at the station." She said, no, you got to come work for Woody. We're going to be the hottest show in the country. But let me tell you, don't come in front of him unless you have 100 ideas. He showed up 3 days later with 100 ideas. So I hired him after leading like three of the ideas. I said, "Anybody can put 100 ideas down, I'm hiring you." He worked for me for 5 years. And then when I started Dick Cavett, I made him executive producer, and we've been friends ever since.
And what is he doing now?
Roger?
Yeah.
Roger is the chairman of the board. He is Fox News. He created Fox News. He put it on the air. And he brought me in about, I don't know, 4.5 years ago, asked me to come in and help him, and I'm his number one guy. And then we started the Fox business, and it's a somewhat of a different thing, but, you know, I still do my shows. I still do Good Morning America. I still do Nightline, and I'm his number one consultant, and it's been a fascinating, fascinating trip. He is an amazingly bright man, and, you know, he put Nixon in the White House. He put Reagan in the White House. He put Bush 41 back in the White House. So he is. Fox News is a huge power in this country, and so I've had a good time. To be honest with you, Marty, I'm not that big of a. I'm more of an independent. I'm not a big conservative, but you know I can do shows and I know talent, and it's been a fascinating trip with him.
You're talking about George Bush Sr., the president. When I was ill at the inaugural ball, and I couldn't get there, but George Bush sent Air Force Two to Cleveland, Ohio, to fly me and the doctor to the inaugural ball and gave us the front row and his family.
Wow. Wow.
But I want to tell you something. When I tell the people I'm going to have Woody Fraser on my show, he says, how the hell did you get him? He's one of the biggest in the country. He won't do a lot of shows like this. I said, me, he will do.
Oh, that's good. Hey, Marty, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How old was Barbara when she did the Mike Douglas show?
Barbara Streisand? She did the Mike Douglas show. She was 18 years old.
That's what I thought. Okay. I had a big a fight with Lana. Lana said she was 20. I said, no, she was 18. Yeah.
And man, she never drank. She never did a whole thing. She came into the Hickory Grill, and then she came into the Corman's back room. And Jules Weinberger come up to me, called me. He says, "Where'd you bring this gal in with the leather clothes? We got society here. She'd never make it." Then I found out that you were doing the show at the Chateau, and I brought her to you. What did you think then? When I walked in with Barbara Streisand.
Well, I remember we sat there and we in rehearsal the first day and we said, wow, this gal's going to be a huge, huge star.
And who was your piano player who played for Ann first?
Ellie Frankel.
Right. She was playing at, this is where she was playing at first, at the Roxy Theater. You know where the Roxy Theater was in Cleveland?
She played at the, what was it, the bar there. What the heck was it? I can't remember the name of it.
The bar was, well, that was the Hickory Grill. She played the Hickory Grill.
Yeah, Mushy Wexler's bar. Do you remember
that?
Oh,
yeah, Mushy Wexler. I used to drive around in the car with him all the time. What the hell was?
Theater?
I put Harry Belafonte in that bar.
Wow. The theatrical, right?
Yeah. What was the name of that bar?
The theatrical?
No, it wasn't the theatrical.
You're the legend, not me. Jeez, Louise, you had them all. But, you know, I've always said to everybody that you showed tremendous loyalty to Barbara and stayed with her. And, that doesn't happen in this business. And you're to be commended for that.
I really appreciate it. But, you know, right now, they say I have one of the greatest talk shows to come out of Cleveland. But with Woody Fraser back and be watching me, I guarantee you, at my age now, I could still be the biggest.
But you got to go to Cleveland and stay at the Auditorium Hotel.
You know what the name of that hotel is now?
What?
Sheridan.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
It's a great hotel.
Well, you know the difficulty in booking, and I would... You know, first of all, I want a talent to come to Cleveland, spend a week, do 90 minutes a day for $1,000. That's not an easy sell. It was always the Auditorium Hotel that just killed me.
That was a good name, the Auditorium Hotel. Everybody thought they were playing in some kind of an arena. But they stayed at that hotel. And one day, I want to tell you something. Billy Weinberger called me up and said, I like Barbara Streisand, Marty, to open up here on a New Year's Eve at my hotel, and I will pay her $6 million for that night. And I talked to Barbara. She was waiting for this punchline. So I brought her up there, and I said, you're acting funny. And what did she say? I said, Billy Weinberger would love to have you play for $6 million bucks for New Year's Eve. She looked at him and looked at his eyes, and the phantom came down and says, I wouldn't work for you if you gave me $52
million. Really?
He said, why? Because you fired me at the Hickory Grill. He said, I didn't even know you then. Well, your brother, Jules, then. But Billy said, well, he died. I can't ask him now. He says, forget it. So I booked her at the MGM Hotel for $12 million. You remember that? So we did great.
Oh, he owned Corman's. That was his wife's maiden name. He bought that for her.
That's right.
Yeah.
And my daughter's looking at me. She's, Dad, I didn't know you were that big. She thought I was always kidding me.
No, that's not true. I knew he was. Are you kidding me? We were brought up in this business. But Woody, I want to ask you a question. I have a new show for you. You won't believe it.
Okay.
You know what we're going to... It's the last of the best with Marty Kahn. Live and still booking, Marty Kahn. We would make this so funny, you have no idea. We would have acts come from everywhere. And Dad would be the theatrical agent in this movie, and it's true. And I'm going to tell you, you have no idea what comes out of my father's mouth. It will be funnier than you ever do. No.
No, I think he has an idea.
No, Woody, sometimes you think I'm... Sometimes you're kidding around. I kid around a lot. But I think... You have to be one of the greatest producers in show business right today.
Well, I don't know about that, but I certainly love it. I've been doing it 55 years now, so.
How old were you when you started?
I was 21, and I started Mike Douglas at 23.
Boy, wow. Oh boy, you were young then.
Yeah, I was a baby. Had no idea what I was doing, and guess what, Marty? I don't know what I'm doing today.
Well, you got the right combination of something.
If I go up there, you know, we're around the country now.
I start a show, I forget how to start a show. I think, wait a minute. I need a studio. I need a star. I make a same gosh darn list. You would think I would just have one like in a Rolodex or something, pull it out and lay it out, but I forget. I have to start from scratch every time.
You tell my daughter now, in those days, was I any good as a good manager?
Oh, you're the best.
You still are, Dad. But you know what else? Tell the audience about
the
you do kids programs too, like Nickelodeon. Tell us about it. How'd you get involved with that?
I want to know something for that.
I just want to hear about Nickelodeon.
I want to know, what about this cancer thing you're going to do?
The what?
On your sheet. What's that right here?
Yeah, you did Stand Up to Cancer?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you saw, you know, my wife has stage 4 breast cancer. And 3 years ago, we started this Stand Up to Cancer with Laura Ziskin, who just passed away. And Laura has stage 4, same doctor. We all got together and we started Stand Up to Cancer. And my wife had a fabulous idea, which has changed the way they do research now. If you're a cancer doctor at Sloan Kettering and you're a cancer doctor at UCLA Johnson Cancer Center and you're each a star in breast cancer, the tendency is for each institution to want to keep you to themselves. And her idea was, you have to work together. You have to share information. And if you want our money, you have to share them. You have to create a dream team. And you have to come in with 4 or 5 doctors in the same area, pick something. And we had we created an executive committee of scientists and doctors that you had to come in front of. And we went on the air in 2008. I got three of the networks. I couldn't get Fox, strange enough. I got ABC, CBS, NBC to carry it for 1 hour on September 10th, which is Friday. And we raised $130 million. And it changed the way people raise money now.
Well, listen to this. There's a young lady who had breast cancer. She was going to go to a doctor in right near Cedar Point. I says, that doctor will kill you. I got her one of the best doctors you can look in the world, Dr. Joseph Kroll, the head doctor at the Cleveland Clinic for breast cancer. He's known all over the world.
I know who he is. I think he may be one of our dream teams.
Well, that's the guy. He's one of the best there is. I interviewed him on the radio show. He couldn't believe it. She said, Marty, are you a doctor? How did you ask me all these questions? Where did you know about it?
Yeah.
And he gave her all her chemo treatments. And he said in July 27th of this year, this month, she's going to get an operation. She wanted both of her breasts to look exactly alike. And they're doing it. Then he's going to start a little radium. But she's off to breast cancer. But she followed everything he said. You could never know she had breast cancer. And I'd like to have her meet your wife.
love it because if you saw my wife, you wouldn't know it either. It's been 10 years, and she's been stage four now for 4 years. And we're fighting a good fight, you know, and she's out there raising money and working hard. And Variety made her the woman of the year last year, so she's doing good.
Well, listen, I want to do this with you, Woody.
Woody, also, my dad had a song made for my mother and for cancer that we would love to share this song with everybody. It's called Just a Little Bit of Hope, and we would love you for you to hear it and spread the word about it because it was written for my mother.
We had the Cleveland Symphony, and they're going to do it now. It's A Little Bit of Hope, and it's something very special. Have you got it right here now, Jim? Well, you can't play it now, but I'll send you a copy of it.
Okay, I wish you would.
And
I wish you would.
Everybody should play this song. It's done by a great girl out of Nashville who knows what the heck she's doing. And I made my wife a memorial about it at the Cleveland Clinic on her new foundation with the heart operation. They only had 600 people or six people, I don't know, come to the walk.
Wow.
To see my wife, we had a little fair, had all the stars. They got 3,500 people in the lobby.
That's fabulous.
And my wife, it was a breast cancer. She had uterus cancer and went through. But I'll tell you, my wife was something else. Without my wife, I feel like nothing. My wife was the greatest. But I'm working now for her. And I want to help everybody in the world with breast cancer. And I'm going around the country promoting it. And I'm on your side, and we're going to make this go away. The doctor says there might be a day we can find to cure breast cancer all the time. Now, a guy like you, Woody Fraser, I want to work with.
Hey. Okay. Well, we did it again in 2010, and we're going to do it again in 2012, Stand Up to Cancer. And then we spun off a thing called Men for Women Now, which my wife's doing. And the idea is to get men to help their wives, and she just started that, and it's doing very well.
Well, everything is doing well when you're involved. Let me tell you something. I'm just not pulling your leg or nothing, but Woody Fraser is the producer of the year all the time. He made so many hit songs, and sit movies. I can't even talk when he talks about breast cancer, but it's. It's really something special. You produced the Barbara Walters show, didn't you?
Yeah, I started Barbara, yes.
Well, I'm the guy who used to play Monopoly with her when her father had Ted Lewis.
Really?
Playing at the Latin Quarters. And he says, you can take off 2 hours and go upstairs and play Monopoly with Barbara. So I was Barbara's babysitter.
Really?
That's me. Here I am again. Woody, you can start all over again. Will you manage Marty Kahn? And then I'll manage you. How's that?
I need something.
I want to ask him a couple questions about the legends of Cleveland television. Is it true that the Streisand Week was among those tapes that they erased to record editorials?
Yeah, isn't it amazing? Yeah. They erased Barbara. They erased Bill Cosby. They erased the Smothers Brothers. Their first, all three, the first network, we'll call them network syndicated appearances. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And those recordings would be worth a fortune now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they'd be in every documentary they ever made about any of those stars.
Yeah.
Amazing. Is it true that
Cassius Clay.
Oh, gee. Is it true that actually the Mike Douglas show was brought in to go up against Dorothy Fuldheim?
That's right.
That she was dominating the ratings of the show she did with Bill Gordon, and they couldn't do anything, and so they bring in this big time.
My orders were from Don McGann, who was president of Westinghouse. He said, "Look, if you beat this show, I'll put you in syndication." I didn't even know what the heck syndication was.
What a break that was, though, when it worked.
And it worked. In 6 months, we reversed their ratings because they got big ratings. They were getting like a 10 rating. And in 6 months, we ground them into the ground. She was a lovely lady. I knew her for a long time.
But it cost a lot of money to do that, didn't it?
But for local TV. Marty, guess what? I started at $400 a week, and Mike Douglas started at $400 a week.
And so did I.
So did you. Yeah, no. You were $400,000 a week then. Don't tell me.
We made $400 a week pitching watermelons.
That's true.
I'd ask one more question about the sort of a legend of Cleveland television. Was it true that in Good Morning America that you brought in Richard Hartman because he was sort of like Fred Griffith, who was so well on the Morning Exchange?
No, I heard that. No. You know what it was? I sold the concept. Fred Silverman called me and said, we're going against the day show. I need a concept. So I came up with this concept, and which was basically built around a one-of-a-kind family. I didn't care if you liked them. I just knew that all you had to say to me was they're one-of-a-kind. So I put together this family that if the Today Show wanted them, they had to steal them. So it was, you know, Howard Cosell, Geraldo Rivera, Rona Barrett, Jack Anderson, Irma Bombeck, Mayor John Lindsay, and a whole slew of them. Bruce Jenner we brought in, and then I needed a host. And Silverman says, well, guess what? The Today Show is news. They have news people, Barbara Walters, Frank McGee, and so we're in the entertainment division. I want an actor. I said, you're out of your mind. Already ABC News hated me because we were in the entertainment division. They weren't going to be any help to me. And now you're telling me you want an actor. An actor is going to interview the President of the United States, going to view Begin, going to interview Nasser. He said, yeah, I have to do it. So I went out and I found Hartman. He had co-hosted the Mike Douglas show, and I looked at some tapes and came in, and he worked. God knows how he worked, but he did.
Well, that was one hell of a lineup of people there. I mean, you look back on it, you say, how could it not be a winner?
Well, it just changed. It changed television in that era. Now they're everywhere. Every local show is a Good Morning America. You know.
How was your show the other day for dinner? So it wasn't a show. You were with Mr. Cow.
Oh, Man Cow?
Yeah. He's a great guy.
Freddie, I'm thinking of doing a show with Man Cow. I've been spending a couple days with him here, and I think there's a once-a-week show in him on Fox News, and we've been spending a lot of time together. Matter of fact, when I'm done with you, I'm going to go have dinner with him again, and then we're meeting with Roger tomorrow, and we're going to see if maybe there's interest. See if I can sell him on actually doing it.
I interviewed, I was at Mad Cow's, his show about 3 weeks ago, and I played it, the tape of mine. He sent me mine. He wanted to do a show with me together.
Really?
And I just said, what the heck, I haven't got the time to do that. But and he says, I got a good report from Woody Fraser. He called me today. He said, when I mentioned your name, Rudy flipped on me. He said, Marty Kahn. I don't know what you meant by that.
Right. Well, you know, he's a unique, strange guy, and I think there might be something there. You know, we live in a different world today in television, and you know, he could be a sane Glenn Beck. I don't know.
Well, that's what I tell my daughter. I tell everybody that. My daughter yelled at me. She said, I don't think so. He'll be like Howard Stern. I should be like Howard Stern and make $500 million a year.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's going to have to dial down a little bit in how he's... everything we do in this business is you're taking a shot, right?
Well, with me, you won't take a shot. They'll shoot you. I'll get shot. You have to worry nothing. But we got a Liberty Broadcasting Company, a syndicating me. They must think I'm pretty good. I don't know, but with Woody Fraser and me together, I can make it the biggest in the country again. I'll tell you, Woody, take a chance at the kid.
All right, let me think about it. It sounds interesting.
Well, I know.
We can make it real interesting.
I know we could do it together, because I'm not afraid of anybody.
I know you're not. That I know.
I dealt with you and Barbara Streisand, and that was a pretty good deal.
So, Marty, one of the reasons I've always liked you is that you really gave me a hard time when I came in there. Every time I came back, you sat me down, and you made me sell and made me sell. And when you said to me, you know what, I'll do this, I knew that you meant it, which is unusual in this business. You know that.
I know that.
I've never forgotten that.
And I want to tell you, Woody, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show. It's just like old times. To me, you are a legend. You're a superstar. You call me a legend. Maybe I'm a little older. I'm a top legend. God almighty, when someone sees me with my walker, they say, look at that guy, he's still going. Nah. You know, when my wife died, Woody, I had a stroke because she was my backbone. She was sensational. But now you can't ever tell I had a stroke. The only stroke I get was someone's face taking a stroke at me. But otherwise, everything is fine. And I idolize you, how great you were and you are, and you made all these stars. And Roger Ailes, how you started that guy. You want to hear something funny?
What?
He lived next door to my wife, 225 Belvedere.
Really?
Warren, Ohio.
Yeah,
and he used to stop at Farr's Clothes to buy a suit.
Oh, my God.
And when he started, he couldn't pay the bill. Now, let me see how much he owes yet. $47.
Well, he can afford it now.
I know that. He's a big man today. I can afford it, too, but I can't find my money.
That's because you're sitting on it, Marty.
Yeah, where? I'm sure sitting on it, but... You know, like Barbara, when I booked her at the Detroit Auditorium there at the Joe Louis Theater, the only thing I was bragging to people, I started Barbara Streisand. I was in the front row. And I said, she looked down at me, there's Marty Kahn. Let me thank him for putting me in every toilet in Detroit. I thought I was going to collapse.
Well,
that's the days.
I'm sure she appreciates what you did for her. She better.
And she better. You tell her about it, too.
Yeah.
Appreciate Marty Kahn. I'm the king. And don't forget, I was with Don King, and I taught him how to be funny. He used to be my father's bodyguard, Don King, at the Cotton Club.
Really?
Yep. And I told him how to fix his hair. I said, never comb it down. He said, put Vaseline and comb it flat. I said, leave it up. Leave it up like that. People, you'll have some notoriety. And look at him today.
You know, Cassius Clay did his first show on the Mike Douglas show, and then he did over 50 appearances. And of course, you know, became Muhammad Ali. And then when he fought Frazier and he lost, I said, grab him, and we brought him on to Mike Douglas. And he used to wait right out the door in the alley. I had to give him $150 cash. He didn't even know that he could get more. I had to bring so I bring it to him, and I give him the cash. And I look at him. He's got dark glasses on. He's all bruised. And I said, okay, you ready, champ? He said, yeah, it's all here. And as he walked by me, he gave me a jab in the chest. And I went, whoa, that hurt. What was that all about? He says, when I sees a Frazier, I just got to hit him.
Hey, Woody, can I have you on the show again?
Sure.
I love you, baby. And say hello to
nice
for
to
Roger
Ailes.
I'm going to make it again just for my daughter's sake. It's going to be a salute to my wife. She wants me to make it. Guess who wants me to play the drums with one song and swearing in for what do you call it?
The rock
swearing
Hall of Fame?
In. Guess who?
Who?
At my age, and I can't hardly move my left hand, but I've been practicing every day. The Rolling Stones.
Wow. Oh.
So we'll get up there. His piano player is the greatest in the world. What's his name again?
Chuck Lavelle.
Chuck Lavelle, the greatest in the world. He said, Marty, when I talk to Chuck, He says, "It was a pleasure having you on my show, Chuck." He says, "It's great. It's an honor." He says, "Wait a minute. It's an honor to have you on the show, Marty, because I've seen you play with Benny Goodman. And you, to me, are the greatest." That was a great compliment for me. So he says, "We're going to have you. We're going to have you play with us one show."
Okay.
So here I am, oldest guy in the world, who will be playing with the Rolling Stones.
You're even older than the rest of the Rolling Stones.
I'm not any older than the guys in the band.
You'll fit it right into it.
Well, Woody, I know you have a lot of things to do tonight, but thank you for being on my show. I love you, guy.
Well, I want to thank you, Marty, and I want to thank your family, and I've enjoyed every second of it.
I like how he raised the price with Barbara's Fresh when I bought her to you.
That's true.
Woody, my pleasure. I'd like to talk to you again. And tell your wife, I'd like to talk to her about the cancer thing that we're going to do. I'd like to talk to her because I'm very much involved.
Yeah, we'd like to share the song, too. We would love to you hear the song.
Hey, well, send it to me, and I'd be more than delighted to listen to it, and we'll see what we can do. Sounds interesting. It really does.
Okay, right. Oh, Rod, call you Roger now. I got him next to my wife in that little house he had.
Yeah.
But thank you very kindly again.
I appreciate it so much, Marty.
And you're my man. And we've been talking to Woody Fraser, one of the greatest. Tells me a legend. He's a legend. All the shows he produced. And when you see Barbara Streisand, you know who put her there. Thank you, Woody.
Thank you, Marty.